Please turn back to the first reading. It's there in the church Bibles on page 493. And as we continue the book of Esther at chapter 4, verse 15, we remember three things. One, the Jewish people of the Persian Empire are under clear and imminent threat of annihilation at the hands of their authorities. Two, Mordecai has done his best to warn Queen Esther, his adopted child, to ask for her help for her fellow Jews. Three, Esther is in a big dilemma. She's in a big dilemma because she has most to lose. She's a queen. One false step with the king, or his favorite prime minister, Haman, and she loses it all, like her predecessor as queen, Vashti. And it is hard to be brave and well-principled when you are in a place of power and influence because you have a lot to lose. But at the same time, Esther was in a good place because she had a clear guide. She knew that she was ultimately responsible to God. The Lord is the one who everyone must answer to, including queens. And she knew that. And so it helped her to be brave and well-principled, even though it meant risking everything. And so here was Esther's reply to Mordecai's urgent challenge to do the right thing, as we take up in verse 15 of chapter 4. Then Esther said, in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Is Esther scared? Yes, she is. Will Esther let her scaredness stop her doing the right thing? No, she won't. I think when we're scared, the natural reaction is to retreat into our shell. But Esther was now bold and decisive. She asked for all of her fellow Jews to fast and pray for her for 3 days and nights. And she asked her maids to join her in a fast for 3 days and three nights. And she resolved that she would go to the king, even if it meant her death, after those 3 days and nights. And that is a good, faithful, bold response. Praying is the best thing we can do when we realize we are in a spiritual battle. And fasting is the best way of showing we mean what we're praying. And the prayers of all who are with her are encouraged. That is very good leadership from Esther. And then the third day arrived. And Esther, heart thumping, knees knocking, went off to the court. Let's read it in chapter 5, verse 1. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, opposite the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne inside the palace, opposite the entrance to the palace. As soon as the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won his favor, and he held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the top of the scepter. What a good answer to prayer. Normally, such brazenness as to go into the court like that would bring the death penalty for the person who did it. But the king is merciful on this day. Esther is welcomed in. Let's read on, verse 3. The king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom." Well, what would you say? One thing to notice here is that Esther is being very careful. She knows that Prime Minister Haman is full of hate and very influential. She knows that the king has not asked to see her for a month. So she will be wise. Even though he mentions the half of the kingdom stuff, she will be cautious and careful. What's the saying that Jesus says? Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Already she's been wise to make her main move after 3 days of fasting. Now she takes her time to say her request, her big request. And in verse 4, she plays for time. Then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet that I have prepared for the king." Now, maybe she's wise because she's really hungry and a banquet would be good. But really, she's being wise because she's seeking to take time to see what Haman is thinking and doing. Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. And that means be as clever and on the ball as an evil trickster, and yet, at the same time, be totally honest and gracious and good. Now, Christians sometimes have the reputation of being gullible, and that is not wise. Don't be gullible. Jesus says, be wise as serpents. Esther did not think, "Oh, the king's held out his scepter to invite me in. Everything's fine now." Esther did not think, "Oh, he's offered me half of the kingdom. I'll relax my guard now and pour it all out." No. Esther wisely thought, "So far, so good. Thank you, Lord. And now, how can I discover what's going on between the king and Haman? I'll invite them to dinner." Verse 4. Then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet that I have prepared for the king." Jesus congratulated such shrewdness. On another occasion, he said, Jesus, "The children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." Christians often lack shrewdness or wisdom, says Jesus. But we need it. We need wisdom like Esther showed wisdom. Incidentally, the book of Esther is new to many of us, and it's worth recognizing that the book of Esther is a wisdom book. You know, the Hebrew Old Testament was split into three parts: the law, the prophets, and the writings, or the wisdom. Esther was always put in the third section, wisdom. Now, the king and Haman came to supper at Esther's. Let's pick it up again in verse 5. Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so that we may do as Esther desires." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. While they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Esther said, "This is my petition and request. If I have won the king's favor and it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them. And then I will do as the king has said." So Esther obviously thought that one supper wasn't enough to see how things were with Haman. So she delayed again and invited them to another banquet the next night to give herself a bit longer to see the lie of the land and to enjoy some more food, I guess. Meanwhile, with this delaying, Haman was revealing himself. And that's what we see in verse 9 and onwards. Haman went out that day happy and in good spirits. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was infuriated with Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. Then he sent and called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the ministers of the king. Haman added, "Even Queen Esther, let no one but myself come with the king to the banquet that she prepared. Tomorrow also I'm invited by her, together with the king. Yet all this does me no good, so long as I see the Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate." So this is revealing, isn't it? Haman was revealing himself as proud and vindictive. Isn't it strange that he goes from being really happy in verse 9a, because the queen has invited him to a personal feast, to being infuriated in verse 9b, a few minutes later as he walked home, because Mordecai didn't stand as Haman passed by, nor look scared of him. Do you know anyone with mood swings like that? It's not good. And mood swings like that often show how proud someone is, because this is what shows how proud Haman was. He's happy to be so important that he alone shares supper with the queen and the king, and he's furious that someone doesn't pay him the respect he thinks he's due. Isn't it so easy to get proud like that when we are the boss or in with the boss? But it's unattractive pride. It's destructive pride. It's ego, and it's damaging to ourselves and to others. It's the pride of the powerful, and God does not like it. Pride comes before a fall with God, and the Lord raises up the humble. So if we have a proud heart, then we are best to burst the bubble or have someone else bring us down to size. Sadly, Haman did not have friends to do that for him. His friends and family made him even prouder. They encouraged him in his fury. Verse 14. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the banquet in good spirits." This advice pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. So we see how Haman is revealing his intentions. People who are proud often cannot resist boasting and bullying. Sooner or later, pride comes out, and it is not attractive, and it is destructive. Esther was wise to wait, wasn't she? We reach the end of chapter 5, and well, we've got to admit, in some ways, the situation for Esther, Mordecai, and the Jewish people of the empire is worse than before. Mordecai is likely to face death much sooner than was the case before. The threat has become even more imminent for him. But at the same time, there is greater hope for those of us who are reading this account, because Esther has shown that she is on the case, and she is wise, and she will be ready. Next week, we get to see how this story played out, but for now, we leave it with the scene of the gallows. Very tall gallows, empty and ready. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Esther. We thank you for what it reveals to us of the depravity of human nature, of the way in which you work, even through times of threat. And Lord, we thank you for the call which it gives to us to be faithful and bold and wise. Please help us to respond well to your call. Amen.